Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Shine and Flow. It's been a while, but today's going to be super exciting. I have two guests with me that have been with me before at separate times, but this is so exciting. I have Kelly Russell with me and Kevin Russell, and we're going to talk about energy today and on tips on improving relationships, not just romantic relationships, but with ourselves and with others. So before we dive in and learn a bunch of great stuff, let's go ahead and take three deep breaths in to get centered and get ready for what's coming our way. So go ahead and take a deep breath in and out. In. And out. And last one. Feeling good. So as I was saying, today I have Kelly Russell with me. She provides emotional energy healing and she's a subconscious change facilitator. And I have Kevin Russell, who's a clairvoyant intuitive energy change agent. And both of them have been with me before. They're amazing, energetic people, just energetic beings that carry so much light and happiness, and I'm just so happy to have you guys here. How are you guys feeling?
Really good, and like attracts like, because we feel the same way about you, and I'm sure all the listeners are in the same sphere as well.
Oh, thank you. That made me all warm and fuzzy. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. How are you feeling, Kevin?
I'm feeling great. I was thinking everything should start with those three breaths.
Yeah.
Any meeting, any class, any gathering, just that's the way to start the day with gusto.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to be here. Really happy to jump into it.
No, oh, I'm so glad you guys were able to make it. And I know it feels so late outside, even though it's really not, but I'm glad you guys are able to make it tonight and be here with me and share some wisdom on these wonderful topics. So, Kelly and Kevin today, they want to discuss amazing things like radical acceptance, radical honesty, and how to speak with vulnerability to be understood. So they have these three tips to improve relationships, and I can't wait to hear all about it.
Awesome.
So yeah, I mean, and this is really applicable to any relationship, and we touched on it a little bit before and you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. So it's really tips that can be applied to every facet of every relationship, from ourselves to interpersonal, to friends, to colleagues, to parents, to kids, romantic relationships, because at the end of the day, a relationship really starts within, and that's the fertile ground. That's where we cultivate our awareness and knowledge and feeling of how we interpret our external world.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we get enmeshed with the similarities of our external world, or similarities of our dis-ease that we cultivate going through in life.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the connection points. Instead of going just a little bit deeper and really connecting at that energetic spirit, soul, core energy level, whatever label you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Deeper than the and of relationships, getting to the point of connecting at the energetic level, as opposed to, you know, maybe playing the games or showing part of ourselves and holding something back, and really, it does have a tendency to kneecap us a little bit, because we are almost fractalizing ourselves, because we might be, that can get exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing all the different hats or wearing all the different masks.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really about getting past that aspect of our perceived reality, or that aspect of our experience and our existence, and getting to what resonates as true, what gives us those truth bumps, those goosebumps when we tap into the feeling, or when we have a connection with someone else.
Yeah.
So that's really the direction where we want to help take people.
I love that. And I love truth bumps.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. I've never heard that before. Yeah.
That one's from Kelly.
Ooh.
That's been a new favorite of mine for the last couple of years, last little bit.
Yeah, so with the radical acceptance, what I see a lot is people that are uncomfortable because they are not accepting the way things are or the way that people are. They wish so badly that somebody else could change so that they could be happy. And I see this a lot in families where they said, well, I didn't get what I needed from my mom or my dad, or my husband's a certain way, and why can't they be different? Why can't they show me the love that I so desire? Why can't they like the same things that I like or want to do things the same way that I do? So really the underlying thing is like, why can't they be more like me? And that's where I see so many problems between people, is when there's that rub and that resistance, because you want people to be just like you. And that's just not possible.
Yeah,
because we're all different. We're all individuals. And even people from two people within the same family, even twins, will have a totally separate experience.
Right.
And even if there are four people in the same room going through the same experience, they will all notice different things. Mm-hmm. And in their reality, it's going to be slightly different based on what they're picking up. Exactly. So it's really like everyone has different values and interests and ideas about the world and religion and money and every idea, and just accepting others with where they're at and letting there be a difference rather than forcing everyone into the same state of being adds so much freedom for the relationship to be what it is, unfold, get even better once you stop resisting the difference.
So I think that's just such an important thing to remember, is resistance, right? I feel like resistance in any aspect just produces more suffering and more of that energetic disease, as you guys say. To yourself, because you're putting yourself in that state of strife and you're not allowing others to be a full expression of who they are. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, sometimes we do have the traumatic experiences of and things, but at the end of the day, maybe that's part of your journey, and that's, you know, part of the reason why you had to go through that was so you can help somebody else down the road that is experiencing the same thing. And on that token, like, if you walk around your whole life blaming others and saying why can't they, you're taking away that responsibility that belongs solely to you, right?
And personal power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. That's the word I was like, personal power. Mm-hmm. It's like you're giving somebody else that power of what can and can't be in your life and what can and can't manifest. But you can't put that on somebody else. Like Kevin said, it's like inside you. Like, this is all with you.
People try to, but it never works.
Exactly.
They try to put it on someone else and then they get frustrated when it doesn't work out.
I mean, how is that going to work, right?
And on the same side of that coin, I'm really glad that you said, why can't they? Because so often, even just with ourselves, we internalize that and we start emitting or emoting things like, why can't I? And that's another form of non-acceptance or resistance. And so if we're not accepting of things going on inside of ourselves and we're resistant to literally the state of our experience, how can we ever be accepting or non-resistant to someone else? And so, you know, the easiest expression of talking about relationships is often that interpersonal or that romantic relationship. But if we're not having that accepting relationship with ourselves, it's really hard to lay a strong foundation to have interpersonal communication with anybody else.
Yeah, if you don't love you, how are you gonna love others? Yeah. Right?
So how do we get to that point?
Yeah, that's the question. How do we do that? How do we do radical acceptance towards ourselves?
It's a practice. And I think the first thing comes for me with creating a greater internal distinction between the experiences that we have within our bodies and us, the essence of us that is experiencing these things through our bodies. And so there is a differentiation in my mind between our embodiment of our life, which is expressed in our senses and our physical shapes and the way we look and the way we act and things. But it's also recognizing that this is a vehicle that mm-hmm. we are driving, or we are within right. in this experience, but mm-hmm. we are not the vehicle. And one of the best ways to get to that point is, for me anyway, was recognizing that I am not my thoughts, I am not my emotions, I am not my reactions, especially the reactive ones, in a reactive thought or a reactive emotion, because those things are programs or constructs or conditioning mm-hmm. at the subconscious level.
Yeah.
That is a byproduct of those traumas. It's a byproduct of the things that we go through in life. Mm-hmm. And so often we misidentify as these things. And that's one of the biggest challenges. And again, talking about kneecapping or pulling the rug out from under us, we get into states of resistance. And in some ways that resistance feels good, because if I have a knowing, but it's based on something outside, it keeps me right, it keeps me justified, and it keeps me safe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As opposed to digging just a touch deeper and recognizing, okay, well, if these things are things that I experience, but I'm not them, then where does that leave me? And then that's the place of expansion.
Who am I?
And then that's the place of expansion and space internally that we can cultivate to begin to have this relationship with ourselves.
And what we believe is we are fractals of source, the ultimate energy of all that is.
Mm-hmm. Or let's label it, the expression of God within, the inner knowing, the soul, mm-hmm. whatever label
yeah,
it
whatever
is.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever you're comfortable with, mm-hmm. it's really all talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Highest
self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it really is cultivating that inner awareness, in beginning that journey of who am I? Mm-hmm. Who am I beyond the labels? Who am I beyond
the job?
Beyond
the income.
Yeah. Who am I beyond husband? Beyond son? Beyond father? Who am I beyond Californian?
Right.
who am I?
Vegan, vegetarian.
Who am I beyond these external constructs that I've chosen to experience?
Yeah.
For contrast.
And when we strip it down, we can strip it down to human. And then if we strip it down further than that, it's just a state of I am. I'm just being. I am pure awareness. Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is that can be a terrifying journey for a lot of people, because so much of self-identification has taken place outside of ourselves. That process, that transition mm-hmm. of going within, it can be painful, it can be scary, it can be terrifying. And the challenge is our subconscious and I call it a subconscious mind-body, because everything outside of our conscious mind and our energetic core, our soul, is subconscious mind-body. Mm-hmm. Sympathetic nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system, all of our bodily functions, fight, flight, freeze, all of our non-conscious functions like digestion, breathing, mm-hmm. everything is within this subconscious mind-body. And it really is a supercomputer of us. And so all of these programs really reside there, and that's the crux of the challenge, is because we're not consciously acting or acting upon or doing things to our detriment, or we're not actively associating with something that is negative. Mm-hmm. It's just that, oh, this trauma happened to me, so now that's what I identify with. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an instantaneous expression. And the more we identify, the more it becomes embedded. The more it becomes embedded, the more resistance we experience. The more resistance we experience, the more we're separated from ourselves and by proxy others. And so it's this slippery slope of this system that we're experiencing, that mm-hmm. we're part of, but that isn't us. And so that distinction is really a great first step.
Accepting yourself
and cultivating that awareness, or just even the question, like, okay, take all the things, take all the labels, all the teams I associate with, but political affiliation, cryptocurrency versus traditional currency, Mac versus Samsung, mm-hmm. what am I beyond all that? And that is such an expansive and such a space of acceleration.
So you're saying just that question itself is like a good starting point.
Yeah.
Like, what am I, besides all these labels and things I've decided to say that I am?
Yeah.
And just start there. And then realize that you're not your thoughts, you're not your reactions.
Mm-hmm. Not my emotions.
I do remember, Kelly, during our podcast episode, it was so funny. You're like, what did you tell me? You're like, don't believe your thoughts. They're bullshit. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I love that, because that really stuck with me. I would have like a negative thought and, you know, it would slowly creep in like it does creepily. And I was like, oh my gosh, it must be true. And then I had Kelly's voice going, it's bullshit. And I was like, yeah, you stay away, you evil thought.
Like 80% of our thoughts tend towards negative.
Yeah.
And like 99% of the things we worry about never come true.
So, crazy.
Just as our lungs are breathing and our heart is beating, the brain is thinking, trying to plan and protect, trying to keep you safe. So then you pat your head and say, thank you, brain. Oh, I've got it from here. And then connect more to the heart or connect more to the feelings and check, am I aligned with this or something?
Right.
But also I think, you know, another layer onto this is, what if we just had the belief that everybody were doing their best with their toolbox? We've all got different tools in the toolbox, and some of us are at different places in our journey. But if we thought that with everyone's unique experience and what they've got, they're probably doing the best that they can. Like, I have a story. I don't know if I shared it with everyone last time, but my dad, he would work 9 to 5, and when he came home, he would eat dinner with us really quickly, like perhaps stay for half of the meal. Once he's done, he'd leave the table and go into his bedroom.
Yeah.
And he'd have the TV on sports, and he'd have a radio on another sports team, and then he'd have the sports page out, and his life, and was never really that integrated with me or, you know, connected.
Yeah.
And then he had this massive change. When I was about 18, he had a hole in his aorta and almost died. An intern saw the chart and they rushed him into surgery and he lived. And he totally changed his life.
Wow.
And he started eating healthy and he started running and eventually became a track coach. And then we'd talk on the phone and he would tell me about all the different ways that he is a mentor to these kids.
Oh.
And he's so wise and he has these words of wisdom and they're just so deeply connected.
Oh.
And I went through many years where I was wondering, well, where was that guy for me? I really needed that one. And one time I got brave enough to talk to him and ask him. And I said, it's hard for me to listen to this because I wished I had you this dad when I was a teenager.
Where were you?
Yeah, I needed you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he paused for 30 seconds and then just with all the love in his heart, he just said, because I wasn't there yet. And this just overwhelming sense of release washed over me and freedom, and it made perfect sense. And I was like, oh. And even today I worked with a client who had a rough time with her mother her whole entire life. And she said, my mother was never emotionally available or warm or fuzzy. And we do this little process. It takes 2 to 5 minutes where you can transform those feelings into something else. And I said, did you have any epiphany or any insight? And she says, yeah, my mother was never given that herself. So she just didn't have that capacity
for
me.
How could she do it? Right, yeah.
So what if we extrapolate that idea and afford other people that same leeway to think they're probably doing the best they can.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the best I can. And maybe that's just the way they are.
Lead more with a compassion rather than this judgment of, again, why can't you be who I want you to be when I want you to
be? So that I can be happy.
So that I can be happy because it's all about me.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That compassion.
So the next thing is radical honesty.
Yeah, this sounds tough.
Yeah.
That sounds really hard.
Well, and again, it's being honest with ourselves.
That's the hardest part.
So we can be honest.
Because
with
sometimes
others.
You don't want to look at it or you don't want to admit it.
Right. I think, I think the admitting probably.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people look. A lot of people have that identification with, oh, I know where I messed up.
I know myself.
I know my story. But then being radically honest and saying, yeah, that's not you. That's something that I experienced. That's something that happened to you.
And I think before we did subconscious work, I didn't know that about myself.
Right.
When we first went to an emotional kinesiologist and a medical doctor that helped us, I would have bet $1 million I had these certain beliefs. And I've been studying my mind since I was 12 years old.
Right, right.
I analyze myself all the time.
And the conscious mind.
Yes. Yeah. And then, but I thought I knew myself. Right. I know myself inside and out. I know everything that's going on. And this doctor would ask us to make certain statements or beliefs. And then he's muscle testing our body to see if we actually believe what we're saying. And I was shocked by what we discovered. And when we dug deeper and deeper and deeper, it got very vulnerable and very scary into like, I'm not lovable. It is dangerous to love me. Things like that.
You're like, where did that come from, right?
And my body was guiding us to that response of truth. And when actually the truth came out, I had water coming out of my eyes. And the doctor said, what is that called? And I said, crying. And, but I was so disconnected to it, I never would have admitted it. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't think this way.
Yeah, and my eyes are just itchy. Yeah.
So, I mean, that really is important to do some inner work and to dig into that subconscious layer, because your conscious mind likes to make up little stories to keep you safe and right.
Subconscious mind.
You dig under there.
Yeah.
Or
not.
And then does that keep you then from being radically honest with yourself?
Well, unknowingly.
Yeah.
So first,
so you kind of trick yourself into.
Yes.
It's not even a conscious thing, though.
It's like
it's just this construct that we create, and that's the rub.
Yeah, that's a little.
I never would have known until I started doing some work like this, and it became obvious to me that there was a big response going on in my system that I had not been acknowledging. And then once we changed that, everything improved. Mm-hmm. The way that I loved myself came online. The way that I love my partner started to shift. I wasn't dependent upon him to give me what I thought I needed to be happy and lovable. I figured out how to do that within me through a lot of the work that we've done. You know?
Wow.
And then on the other side of that, one experience we had in these sessions was I was asked, well, how, when, and I can't remember what the specific was.
Yeah, something where we were arguing or not getting along well, and he said, well, how far do you wish you were away from Kelly right now?
So we've always had this thing, no matter if we're in a disagreement or a discussion, if we're, you know, when we go to bed, we're always at least touching toes.
That's kind of our thing.
Even if we're like so mad at each other, we're literally as far away as we can.
It's we'll like still toe touch.
Toe touch.
And so...
I love that. That's so sweet.
It's actually, I love it too. It's great. But the question was something like, you know, I was fairly in tune with myself. Part of it was I was in counseling when I was young. I had stuff going on with my parents at the time where my expression of feeling out of control was to control what I ate. And so I was anorexic. I don't know if we touched on this last time, for about 3 or 4 years. So I had exposure to talk therapy. And so that was the first glimpse I had into this almost pulled back internal perspective of, oh, okay, there's something else, like there's more than just the sum of the parts. There's other things that I can't quite put my finger on, but I have this awareness and observation within myself of myself. So that's interesting. And so fast forward to this experience, and it was a question of, well, when this is going on,
how far away
do you want to be
from her?
And because I was hedging or justifying, partly because I didn't want to hurt Kelly's feelings, and partly because I think that I didn't want to admit it to myself. And so I was like, oh, you know, like, I don't know, down the street, nope.
And they're doing a muscle test, so his body is saying no.
My body's saying no. And so I'm incrementally getting further and further away until it just...
Like in another state.
On another continent. And then it just hit me and I said, in another galaxy. And that held true.
Oh.
And in the moment, I don't think it crushed you, but it was definitely impactful. It was because hearing that, it's like, I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
But the way that it felt when I spoke it was so true.
Oh.
And it was just like, that's just, it's not that I actually want to be a galaxy away, but in the moment, my system was saying anywhere but here and as far as you can get.
Mm.
And so it's these... It can be challenging. And again, this isn't, you know, none of this is simple necessarily. I'd say it's simple, but it's not easy. There you go. Perfect. But it does take that openness and going back to the who am I,
And what's so important, by the way, is the level of vulnerability and heart in sharing that message, because that could have been really handled a different way. That could have been mean and aggressive. That would have been shutting down. But with the facilitator helping us with you being so kind and considerate and compassionate in the delivery, those words, if said a different way, could have been ultimately harmful.
Well, it's almost regretful. I was regretful.
Did,
I was
right, like, this the is, way you is, communicated yeah. it.
Because
right.
if you're just going to yell at your partner and say, well, I listened to this podcast called Shine and Flow, and they said I should be ultimately honest with you, I want to be millions of miles away. That could really suck.
Get away.
Yeah. It could suck.
Right.
So it's the tone. It's the openness of your heart when you're sharing these details. It's
so important. The delivery. Yes. You just have to have compassion as you deliver something so intense, right?
Yes. Defenses down and hearts open.
And so with the going into ourselves and who am I, the first question or the first answer I get is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful place to be. Not knowing is such potential, such a beautiful place to be. And so with the honesty, that's really where I was coming at it from, where instead of cultivating resistance or expressing resistance in a certain way, I was just going into it with, I don't know. I wonder what's going to come up. I wonder what my system's going to tell me. And because we can think, sometimes we can't think our way out of a wet paper bag. Because it's just not there for whatever reason.
Yep.
But our system will have that information or that knowledge. And so a lot of it is, there is a 100% aspect of vulnerability. There's also an aspect of letting go, of releasing resistance in every form. And with honesty, I also think that empathy is a component where it's on us to be honest and truthful with ourselves. But if it's not delivered to ourselves or others with a dash of empathy, I mean, let's look right now, like in Donald Trump's world, he is being honest. Is he being kind and empathetic and accepting as well? Probably not.
Yeah.
And so there's degrees of honesty to your point where it's this delivery and it's like, I hate your hair. I hate the way you dress. It's like, is that honesty coming from your energetic core, the solidness of you, or is that coming from resistance or conditioning in another way?
Defensiveness or anger or frustration or,
those are all conditioned responses of our system to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, it keeps us separate from our true selves and others.
Mm. Yeah. Another important thing about honesty, I see people in a lot of pain when they are acting other than their nature or doing things. It can be even the job that I do, the actions that I do in a day, the activities that I'm engaged in. There may be a familial pressure from their family of origin, mom or dad. There may be a pressure from their spouse or their friend group that I need to behave a certain way or act a certain way or have a certain job or do this or I won't be loved or accepted. And it causes so much internal turmoil and pain, and it shows up like stress and anxiety and illness and actual pain in the body. So really figuring out a way to be true to who you really are and what it is you want and need in life. I see people who wanted to be certain things and do certain jobs, and their parents said, we would never have someone like that in our family. You can't do that. And then they have a life of misery because they're not doing anything that they enjoy.
They're not being radically honest with themselves, right?
Yeah, exactly. And same with a spouse. Like, I had one person that I was working with that wanted to go to church and be around like-minded individuals and feed his soul. And he said, my wife's not into that. And she says, I can't go.
Well, that's so sad, you know? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And
that's sad.
Another person I worked with today, in fact, she said she's a yogi and she does stuff with crystals and healing. And she said, my husband doesn't support what I do and he wants me to change what I do. But I feel so drawn to this work. I don't know what to do because now we're not getting along. So it's like Kevin said, it is not easy, but you can do what others want and you can give into that pressure, but you're going to have a life of internal strife and misery, and you're probably going to get sick and in pain and be on medication because you're so anxious. Or you can say, I'm taking full ownership of who I am and what I want and need. This is me. Love me or leave me. And that's hard because sometimes people
So
think
hard.
it would be better just to keep someone near me, even if they don't really like the true me. So I'm just going to hide that part of myself. It takes
It's
bravery to say,
sad.
this is me. And
Right.
I love these things. And I stand for these things. And I want to do these things. And these things fill me up inside. And it's non-negotiable. And I hope you can love me anyway. And if you can't, we're going to have to come to some new agreement.
Yeah.
Right?
And
And it's harder
that's
when there's children involved, because then you're like, what do I do when now I'm at odds with my partner? But mostly what I find is they hadn't been honest all along. And now it's gotten to a point where they can't take it anymore. So the sooner you can get on board with the honesty train and first figure out what you want and need, and guiding yourself into a high vibrational state based on what feels good to your inner alignment, and then sharing that with others. And then some people might fall away from that. They might say, well, this is not who I thought you were. I don't like this at all.
Well,
And we
good,
say,
'cause
okay,
yeah.
clear the path, because then those that do resonate with that have the
Exactly.
space to come in.
Right.
It just takes the bravery to do it.
It does. And I think what you were saying earlier, because we have the steps, right? Radical acceptance is first and foremost, because if you're not accepting yourself for who you truly are, then how can you be radically honest about it and with others, you know?
Exactly.
So it all starts with accepting yourself. That doesn't mean just like, I mean, in my head, and correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't mean accept yourself even like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you could always find ways to energetically heal certain parts of you. So it's like if you are constantly binge drinking or you're constantly doing hurtful behaviors, don't radically accept yourself like that,
Well, you
right?
can,
Or how would you say
it's
that?
kind of a paradox, but not really.
Okay.
It's
Yeah.
accepting exactly where you are right now in
Okay.
all of your messiness, and also knowing at the same time, we can change that. It's like if you have a strong desire within yourself to have something different, that is possible. But you're accepting all of the messiness of where you're at in the present. I love and accept myself no matter what, no matter what I do or say or where I'm living or what's happened to me. And yet, maybe there's a desire inside for something different.
Okay,
And
so
they can
that's how you would,
coexist.
okay.
I believe we can be striving for something and also being accepting of the place that we're at the same time.
Wow, I feel like that's tricky,
Yeah. I
right? Because
used to
it's almost
not
like an
believe that.
opposite. It feels like it's like I want to be better at this, so therefore I don't like this part of me because it's not as good as I want it to be. So like how do you ride that fine line of I accept it, but I want to be better.
And instead of a
Yeah.
but, it's just an
Just
and.
an and.
Yeah.
I accept it and I want to be better. Ah, okay. It's simple.
And it's almost like drawing a line in the sand. And if we don't draw that line of just like literally giving ourselves over to ultimate acceptance of this is where I am, even if you're in, you know,
In pain, or I'm
an
overweight, or
opium den in Calcutta, if we don't just accept it, we're going to continue to try and keep running away from it.
Oh, that's right. That
And what
resistance, right? And then the
exactly.
suffering.
Or
Okay.
just, yeah, or hate yourself more, and that doesn't help anything.
Yeah,
So the
right.
line
It's
in
true.
the line in the sand, the difference is if we don't get to this place of acceptance, we're just going to be lugging our junk with us into the future as we go. Once we reach this place of acceptance, it's inviting in the allowing to put all that down, to put down the mountains that we're carrying that are contributing to us looking to escape in some way, whether it's alcohol or drugs or porn or media or glamour
Right,
or
yeah.
whatever the flavor of the week or the thing that is in your wheelhouse is. But those are just expressions of dis-ease. Those are we're trying to self-medicate to solve a deeper issue that for so many is inaccessible. Again, because it's in that subconscious mind.
It's in the subconscious mind, yeah.
So there is also with acceptance and honesty, and I'm glad you touched on it, there is that layer of once we start cultivating awareness, we're going to be more aware of those negative thoughts that we experience. We're going to be more aware of those kind of like emotional drive-bys that drop us into anxiety or depression.
Right.
And so it's not that once it's just like, oh, I'm aware, everything's going to be peachy. It's like, no, it's a process and a practice.
You see it as it arrives.
Right.
And you see the pattern that keeps showing up. And it can be frustrating because when you do a lot of work, you think, haven't I dealt with this already?
Yeah.
I've done so much work around this. But it is there to show up again to see, do you want to continue to associate this with your identity or do you wish to release it? So it's kind of like, hey, it's me again. Do you want me now? And then you can go, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. No resistance, but no thanks. I'm good. So thanks for bearing with me, guys. You're both so patient and lovely.
Of course.
My technology is spastic.
It's no problem.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. So many people during this quarantine, I'm sure, can relate to that.
Especially with Zoom.
Learning Zoom, children going online, trying to figure out how to do all this.
Oh my goodness. There's... Bless all those people, especially the ones with children and having to work and their kids and Zoom. And
my gosh.
I can't.
And technology.
Yeah, I can barely run my phone with microphones. So Kelly, you were saying that, and we were touching upon this, how if you want to carry around a certain energy, you'll allow yourself the space to do that.
Yeah. Sometimes I want to pout a little bit. And then when I'm all done, I say, okay, I'm ready to shift that now. I don't want to feel that way anymore.
And you move on.
I do.
And I think that's so great because, you know, sometimes I'll struggle with, I want to be pouty, but then I feel bad about being pouty. Yeah. So it's like this guilt, but I like don't know when to stop pouting because my body isn't like, it doesn't know what's going on. Right. It's like, are you pouting or are you not? Like, are you guilty about it or are you okay? Like,
yeah. Well, and that's getting like really in tune with yourself. Right?
And on the other side of it, this is the other great part. If you are in an interpersonal relationship and there is one partner who is just in it and it's and maybe even not deciding it, like nobody's on the same level all the time, but they're just dropped in it. Before, what I would do is I would dive right in there with her. I'd be like, oh, if you're angry then and upset, then I must have done something. I need to make it better, or I need to self-flagellate and feel guilty about something. As opposed to, it's like, now if something is going on with Kelly, I know full well it doesn't have anything to do with me, even if it's something that I said. Even if it's something that I was, you know, inconsiderate about or short with.
Oh, wait, because, how does that work?
Because that is only reflective of what's going on inside of me. That doesn't have anything to do with her. But she is part of that equation. And so that's where the distinction and the difference come in. And this is where we get to quantum, where we get to the reactive nature of our systems. So if I'm reactive and I say something that's unkind or I'm short or I'm aggressive or I'm angry, the other person, so we'll use Kelly as this example, Kelly's system is going to raise its defenses automatically because we're in self-preservation mode. We're not in our critical thought. We've instantaneously dropped ourselves into our sympathetic nervous system, into our limbic brain, prefrontal cortex, our conscious mind shuts off, and we're in bring it on, sucker
state. Yeah, let's go.
Right?
Ding, ding, ding.
And we would ride that merry-go-round. We did ride that merry-go-round for years. And so the difference now is, if Kelly's upset about something, even if it's something that I did, and that's on me. So that's my awareness. And that's for me, that's the honesty that I need to have within myself, and acceptance of, okay, I did that. It didn't feel good. What's behind that? Where was that coming from? Because that's not the me. That's not the meanness of the experience. That's something else going on.
So you do self-reflection when maybe you answer short or something. You think back to yourself, like, where's that coming from?
Yeah.
So you can really get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And then, Kelly, how is it that you don't get, like, affected by that?
I think we were really lucky in learning a lot of these skills at the same time.
It was a relationship. Mm-hmm. It was our relationship that launched this whole journey. Mm-hmm.
It's about not taking things so personally, yeah, and realizing I'm responsible for my inner state and I'm taking care of me. Mm-hmm. So if he says something that bothers me, instead of me going, "How dare you say that to me? You offended me."
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
I go, "Why did that bother me?" So I have that self-reflection where I go, "What?" Because if he pushes on me where I don't have a bruise, it's not going to impact me whatsoever.
That's a good point.
If I'm tall and somebody goes, "What's up, shorty?" I'm going to go, "I don't know." or you know, if right. If I'm super skinny and somebody says, "What's up, gordita?" I'm like, okay.
Gordita, I love it.
You know what I mean?
That's a term of endearment.
It is. But it's only if I take it personally and I go, "Why did he do that? There's something wrong with me," or "What's going on inside?" You know, there's
what am I doing to make him react that way?
Or there's just like I have a button that has been pushed. Mm. And so I'm looking for my button now. I'm going, "Why did that bother me?"
Yeah.
And then I check to see, is it something that we should, I feel the need to connect with Kevin and we can have a conversation about it? Or is it simply that I'm just having a rough day and he said it a certain way that I'm taking all out of proportion?
Yeah, maybe you're just stressed or something.
So yeah, so like a good example that I have of this is like, I'm feeling really good. I've had a great day. I've seen the best clients. Everything's running well. And I walk in the door and our 14-year-old daughter's in her room and I go, "Hi, how are you doing?" She's like, "What? What do you want?"
Oh.
And then I'm crushed.
Wah, wah.
And
yeah.
So in the past, if something like that would happen, I go into the kitchen and I mope around and I go, "Well, why is our relationship like this?
Yeah,
why doesn't she love
yeah.
me? This is reminds me of me and my mother when we didn't get along, you know?"
Right, right.
But instead now I go, "Ooh, she's having a rough day." And I don't take it upon myself.
So you don't internalize it.
Yes.
It's like, that's her energy. That's on her. Uh-huh. Like, why is she responding like that?
Yeah.
And then you just walk away and you're like, okay.
Well, I'll ponder it. I'll go, wow, was there something that I could have adjusted about the way I said something? And if I go, "No, I just came in that was nice and chipper and said, hi."
Right.
Then I look at me and I go, "Well, is there something that I could do? Because now I feel kind of crappy."
Yeah.
But then I say, "What could I do to feel better in this moment?" And maybe it's, I'm going to put Bob Marley on the speaker while I cook my lunch. Or maybe I'm going to go head out for a walk. Or I'm going to go talk to Kevin for a minute. Or I'm going to call a friend. Or there are things that I can do now to take care of my energy so that I'm not in the doldrums with her. Later I'll go in and say, "Is everything okay?"
Yeah.
Because I care and love her. I care about her and I love her.
Yeah.
So I'm not just like, "You're on your own. Sorry, you're having a shitty time." Unless she really needs her space right now.
Right.
I'll wait and I'll go, "Is everything all right? Is there anything I can do to support you?" So it's not taking everything so personally, except that I'm in control of my inner state in the way that I can manage my energy and go, "Wow, that didn't feel good. What can I do to feel better?"
Wow.
And that's power is within me.
Yes.
And then when I'm guiding myself that way, all the relationships get better. Then I don't need him to act a certain way so that I can feel good. And I don't need my daughter to be in a good mood all the time so that I can feel good. Because people are up and down and all around.
Wow, that is really powerful. Really powerful. Whoa.
These subtle shifts will change our world. It literally changes your world because you're energetically showing up differently to life.
Yeah. Well, that's what Kelly is saying, that it changes her all of her relationships when all this pressure isn't on you to perform a certain way or your daughter to perform a certain way. It's like, it's within you, your joy and your power.
Everything. Yeah. And again, I mean, we've been
on a
4 or 5 year journey. And so this isn't one and done. This isn't, you know, a magic pill. There's no silver bullet. It's practice.
Yeah.
And and that's the other side of this, I think, is collectively, I really do believe we need to be much more kinder and gentler with ourselves and with everybody else, but with ourselves first.
With ourselves first.
Like this is a practice. Mm-hmm. Even the most brilliant mind is here practicing, and most likely they're very brilliant in a very specific, very deep topic. Everybody's here doing the best they can.
Yeah, Exactly.
And so the difference, as opposed to 5 years ago now, if Kelly's in it, I have the awareness and the observation of being like, oop, yep, okay.
She's in it.
You want some help? No, not yet.
Okay. Okay. All right.
That doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah, but then, you guys have developed these habits
awareness.
And this awareness yeah. of how to handle that. So you're saying it wasn't like you guys just walked into this
no.
and it was easy. It's like it took time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, just like anything else.
It's a learning and a practicing. Because yeah. first we're learning about ourselves. We're learning different techniques of how to relate to each other.
There's nobody gives us a handbook for how to live.
Yeah.
We're just dropped into what other people have done.
Yeah, and just kind of follow.
and those people who are usually parents or grandparents
yeah.
are just doing what they were dropped into.
Exactly.
I guess there hasn't been a handbook or a guidebook necessarily mm-hmm. until now, but again, on the other side of it, if I'm in it, and I actually really appreciate Kelly's approach because she's like, you need to go handle your shit.
I love it. It's just the point.
But if I'm in it, I'm not aware that I'm in it because it's subconscious and it's quantum, so it happens immediately.
Yes.
But I've gotten to the point in my own self uh-huh. where if Kelly says, you need to go handle your shit, I meet that with a smile. So to your point about that self-reflection, that's a major part of the journey because it's the one of the biggest aspects or signifiers is a reduction of the time between reaction and recognition.
Mm.
And so the more we practice this, so before, I mean, we would be days, weeks of reaction
yeah.
Yeah.
and no recognition.
Right, like it's just, yeah, tension, fighting,
yes.
yeah.
And
or silent, you know, just, yeah. I'm not talking to you.
And again, it's a practice, but now we've gotten it to the point of almost immediate awareness and recognition.
Amazing.
Or pre-recognition,
yeah.
where I start to feel a shift. And it's like, I need to go figure this out. Something shifted.
Yeah, give me a second.
I don't want to react and say right. something mean.
Because
and
I,
hurt
yeah,
you
yeah.
or cause you a certain thing. Yeah,
yep.
exactly. Because we've cultivated that inner awareness
That's
and inner knowing
great.
Of what good and balanced and whole feels like. But if we never afford ourselves that opportunity, we're going to still identify with those misfiring subconscious
right.
programs.
Or it's because I want or need something from everyone
yeah.
around me so
yeah.
I can feel good mm-hmm. rather than you figured it out on your own,
right?
What you need.
Yeah.
And then the last part, this really ties in well.
Yeah,
of
that's what I was
thinking. The conscious communication. And where we go wrong is when we say things like, you made me feel this way.
Or why can't you just?
And then the other
there's
person.
There's such easy things to say to somebody when you're being reactive.
Well, yes. Again,
why did you do this?
Yes.
We are in that state of defensive subconscious.
Yeah.
We're not even in our, literally we are not in our right mind.
No.
We're in our lizard brain.
Yeah.
And so that's like the defenses come up. So
on both
faster
sides.
Than a blink of an eye, been both
yeah.
sides, and then
yeah.
and then you're dropped into it,
mm-hmm.
and you're just in this reactive state. And
mm-hmm.
the interesting thing
interesting.
Is that when we are in our sympathetic nervous system, we're in that fight, flight, or freeze. It's cause related, and so when we're dropped into the state, we are looking for a cause of this state, and automatically we look outside of ourselves,
right?
Because this isn't coming from within.
Yeah,
this,
it was
so,
your fault.
You did.
That guy who cut me off.
Right.
The sunny day, it's too hot.
Yeah.
So instead, the good question is, why did that guy cutting me off cause this reaction in me?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on with that guy? He could have found out that his wife has COVID. He could have not been paying attention. He could have been listening to something really inspiring on the podcast that he's listening to
right.
from Lucy.
Yeah, there we go. He's listening to this episode.
Yeah. So I, instead of me saying, that, what an a-hole. I can't believe he did that to me.
Yeah.
Who knows what this person is going through?
Exactly.
And it doesn't really matter. I'm fine.
Yeah.
So why exactly. did I let that dude affect me in my day?
Like, why?
Do I want to?
Yes.
Like, how long do I want to stew in this? 10 minutes? An hour? Do I want it to impact my whole day?
And why, like, give away your energy
yes.
like that? Our energy can go towards other things, right? Why mm-hmm. why work yourself up over something that's just insignificant?
Exactly. Like, especially in the climate we're in, where there is a lot of fear and there is a lot
yeah,
of anger and there is a lot
hard.
Of anguish around. And everybody's raw.
Right.
A lot of people are raw and living, you know, living with those raw exposed nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And so how, you know, we're all, a lot of people are sitting here waiting for something outside of themselves to change their situation. This will be better when everybody wears a mask. This will be better when we get a vaccine. Mm-hmm. This will be better when whatever.
Right.
It's doing the same thing. Why isn't the vaccine here yet to make me feel better?
Right.
Why aren't other people acting the way I'm acting to make me feel better?
To make me feel better. Right.
As opposed to just,
what can I do in this moment to figure out how I can feel better? And they're usually incremental steps.
100%.
But going back to the conscious communication, it's being willing to be totally in a vulnerable place and speaking with an open heart about how I feel. So if I'm going to Kevin about something that I felt he said with a little attitude on it or something, I would say, babe, can I talk to you for a minute? I feel really sad. It felt like, you know, I was doing my thing and looking to connect with you, and there was something about the way you said something, and it caused me to feel sad and lonely. And I feel, gosh, I just feel like I wish we could communicate better. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe you, like, I wish I could be heard more. Mm-hmm. I wish I could be understood more.
Yeah.
And then if I'm really being open-hearted and vulnerable, Kevin would be much more likely to respond in kind. Because he's mm-hmm. feeling my heart.
Right. You're not coming to him defensively mm-hmm. or angry. It's right. You're being very open.
His defenses are down.
Right.
But if I say, you came in here and destroyed my day and you said something mean, how dare you?
Yeah, yeah. That's,
then the defenses go up and he's like, well, you did this, and
yeah.
this. And then you did this, and this. So,
and yeah. For the guys out there, leading with vulnerability is actually the strongest position you can ever take. Because if you're the best way to disarm someone else is to share how you're feeling or share what's going on inside. Mm-hmm. And a friend shared this, and it's a brilliant tool to use. If there's any conflict or anything where between two people, a great way to start out that vulnerable and accepting and empathetic and honest conversation is the story that I'm playing in my head right now, or the story I'm telling myself right now, is that you don't love me anymore because of this.
Mm. Wow.
I don't ever want you to have that story.
Right.
That's, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And just literally the armor comes off, the shield drops. So leading with the story that I'm telling myself, or the story that I'm hearing in my head, is one, you're inviting the other person into your space,
mm-hmm. into your story,
which is it can be terrifying, but it is literally the strongest position to ever take, and it's the best way to disarm anyone. Mm-hmm. Is just invite them into your space, just let them know what's going on inside. Yeah. Instead of meeting defense with defense, mm-hmm. meeting defense with love evaporates the defense. And it's I'm not going to say challenging, but it can be a little disconcerting the first time. Mm-hmm. We talked about truth bumps earlier. If you lead with vulnerability and open, honest communication, that's where you hit the truth bumps, and that it'll stop traffic between two people. It's
wow.
it's like the brakes come on, and you kind of come out of this fugue state or this fog
yeah.
of the subconscious defense mechanisms.
So like, powerful.
Oh, okay. So yeah. For all the guys out there who feel like they can't share or never had the tools to share for mm-hmm. for the way they were raised.
Right.
That's not you. And that's not an excuse. This is the time, this is the opportunity that we've all got to really connect much more closely and strongly with ourselves in order to be able to do that same thing with others. And the only way to do that is to lead with vulnerability.
And to speak from your point of view in a feeling state.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I feel in this moment right now, or this is how I felt when we had this interaction. And it's hard to dispute that. mm-hmm. because it's not a fact. It's because two different people can have a different perception of the same exact experience. You can swear that somebody said something or that somebody did something.
Yeah.
And both of you can have an alternate view. But when you say, I feel this way, what is the person going to say? No, you don't.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I do. It's exactly. my feeling.
Right, right. So
it's hard
it's a good
to
point.
Dispute that.
Yeah.
And if you speak with the tone of your voice and you're connecting to that, that heart, and you're just saying, this is how I feel. And it takes you going underneath the top surface layer, because my surface layer is maybe I'm angry. Mm-hmm. If I go, well, why am I angry? I'm angry. Usually what's under that is I'm afraid of something.
Right.
What am I afraid of? I'm afraid when he treats me like that, he doesn't love me anymore. So I feel scared, right? So if I can just, instead of being angry, if I can skip right to what's underneath that, it's a fear. And maybe even what's beneath that fear.
Right.
Get into those deep layers. I'm afraid I'm unlovable.
But yeah.
And then I go, well, that's not true.
Yeah.
I'm totally lovable.
Right. Yeah.
And then I start to feel better. A little bit right then. And then I go talk to Kevin and tell him how I feel. And when you have a partner that cares about you, then they're willing to listen and to respond also with that vulnerability.
Yeah. And language is another important, literally the words we use is mm-hmm. another really important aspect of honesty and vulnerability and acceptance and everything. And so if we lead with, If we incorporate words like you into these conversations, that's a form of distancing. That's a method of distancing ourselves. So even leading with the beautiful way that Kelly was describing of when this happens, the way I feel, if you gets in there, when you do this, this is how I feel, the defenses are going to come
it
right
goes
back up.
Into blame.
Right.
So never use you.
Never use you. So a good example would be, okay, this situation made me feel like.
Okay.
Or not even the situation made you feel, because that's saying that something outside of yourself caused you to feel it.
Yeah. When we were in this situation, this is what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. Because it's never about the other person. It's always about us. And if that's not being met, mm-hmm. then that's a choice to make about the engagement or about the relationship. But as long as we're doing our due diligence and we're cultivating awareness of the language we use about ourselves and about others, we're cultivating these practices as we go on the journey. Again, these are practices. This is nothing that's going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
We become more aware of the power of these things. Mm-hmm. And it's a habit and it's a practice. Mm-hmm. So if we start eliminating these words and these experiences, then our natural state is going to be to default to operating from a place of vulnerability, as opposed to defaulting from a place of resistance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, you start to notice it right after mm-hmm. you still did something in a way that's not working very well. You're like, dang it, we just did it again. And then you could talk about it. That's not the way I meant to communicate. And I started blaming you again. And I don't want to talk like that. And then after a few times that happens, then you start to notice it while you're in it. Mm. Like, oh, damn it, we're in it again. Mm-hmm. And then, like Kevin said, you start to notice it towards the beginning. Like, oh, it's about to go wrong. But I'm going to say it anyway because I'm mad, you know. And then pretty soon you notice it a second before, like, I'm about to say something I'm going to regret. I'm going to walk away for a minute and I'm going to check myself and then let's talk.
Wow.
So it's like this extinction phase where
you're
noticing a shift that you want to make and start catching yourself a little sooner and a little sooner. And then you're practicing it all the time. And still the old patterns come up because those are there and you go, oh, okay, you again.
Yeah.
Do I want to play or no? Maybe I don't want to partake this time. No. I see you.
No, thanks.
I'm not going there.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of here. I love this.
In some ways, it's almost like you're cleaning out a junk drawer when these things pop up. And it's like, you're still in here?
Yeah.
Well, you just stay in the back because I don't even need you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
no, this is wonderful. I think this is just such a good good things to take away, just how to be more vulnerable when we talk, and just everything. When you mentioned that this is what you wanted to talk about, I was like, yes, let's cool. go. It was like, you know, three tips to improve relationships. And my first thought was like, oh, romantic. But then when we had this conversation, it was like, no, just with yourself and with anything. Others.
With your mother.
Yeah.
With your mother-in-law. With your colleagues that are, you know, people at work.
Yeah. Just everyone. And and I think just it starts with the radical acceptance and then moving into the radical honesty. I love how it's like a step. It really is. And then into speaking with vulnerability to be understood.
And the way that we speak in being accepting others and in being honest. Like if I'm going to share something about myself with other people, it's how am I going to share it? Can I share it from a heart space or am I going to share it with defensiveness? Because that makes a huge difference too, is how we're communicating these things when we're radically honest with people.
Right.
And can we change our language and be more accepting of others? So it's all tied in, the way that we communicate those wants and needs and tapping into our inner self.
And it's funny because part of the byproduct of this journey is that a lot of the wants and needs start to disappear or dilute because they're perceptions. Because we're perceiving that there's a deficit. We're perceiving that we have a hole to fill that somebody or something outside of us can fill. When the reality is that that's the illusion of the dis-ease in our subconscious. And as we go on this journey and we reconnect, and it's a reconnection because it's always been there. We reconnect more strongly with our energetic core. The wants and needs just almost naturally disappear.
You're self-fulfilled.
And again, it's that acceptance. I am great. I am good right here. Well, what if I will be great in those situations too, because I have that right now.
And then what I like to say is at that point, the relationship is just icing. And Kevin likes to say, then it's all gravy. Because when I'm whole within me and you're whole within you, it's nothing that I need from you. It's just like, what adventure do we get to explore now? What do we want to do now?
You complement each other, not complete each other.
Exactly.
I think that's amazing.
What experience do we want to have now? When these are two people that are feeling good within themselves. We're not clinging or grasping for anything. It's just like, whew, what do we want to do?
How amazing. I love it. So you guys are saying follow these three easy steps and we'll be there. All right, let's
go. Some practice. And be kind to yourself as you're stumbling. Like in the messiness of it. You're accepting yourself where you're at, and you're practicing out these new skills and these new opportunities for growth, and just trying these out, and it's going to feel weird, and you're going to fumble, and you're going to be like, I didn't mean to say it like that. It's going to backfire in certain moments because it didn't come out just right. And then you just go, gosh, I'm just going to be kind with myself and keep on doing it.
Let's all start learning how to walk again.
Because basics.
Because you see a baby fall down 8 times and then just give up.
No.
It's like, no.
They laugh their heads off.
And they laugh, right? Yes. They don't usually get angry or throw a fit. They kind of just like laugh. Like,
it's just one foot in front of the other. Yeah. Okay, I didn't walk. I'm going to pull myself up on this thing and try it again.
I love that.
And it's just this, because it is. It's like, there is no perfection. There never will be. There can't be.
It's so boring. What if everybody were, I'm another perfect person doing a perfect thing. Look at us all in our perfection. How freaking boring would that world be? I'd never want to live in that place.
Lame.
And the people that I meet are these smooth, perfected masks. I don't prefer it. I'd rather have somebody who fumbles or makes a mistake and they laugh it off or tell a joke, or you get to see that vulnerability peek out when they're like, ooh, it's a, you know, they stumble a little.
Exactly. It's,
we all do it. So why don't we just allow ourselves the opportunity to do that?
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, I've had such a fun time with you guys today, despite the technology, which is a little obnoxious, but I'm not going to resist it.
Exactly.
It's been amazing. I love having you guys. And I just thought to myself the other day when I wanted to do another episode, I was like, how amazing to bring both of them together. Like, I can't even imagine. And now here it happened. And it was Lucy. Everything I hoped it would be. You guys are so incredible.
Thank you.
So thank you for joining me. And everyone out there, thank you for joining us. Yeah. So make sure that you reach out to Kevin and Kelly.
We're on radicalenlightenment.com. And if you want to book a session with either one of us, you can learn more about what we do and who you feel most comfortable with. We love whoever you want to go with. So, and there's no competition there. And we're teaching a relationship course that'll be coming up in mid-January. So we'll have details coming up soon for you on radicalenlightenment.com. It'll be a 6-week course where we explore the radicals and we'll have step-by-step to learn these processes and practice them yourselves.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Like, I'm on board for that. That sounds good. So thank you so much again for joining me tonight. And everyone out there who's listening, thank you for joining us. I hope that you got something out of this and that you can share this with a friend. And yeah, make sure you reach out to Kevin and Kelly. They're amazing people. I've done separate times with both of you and both of them were amazing. So.
Thanks, Lucy. Thanks it's so been much, a pleasure. Lucy. Thank you so much for hosting us.
Always a pleasure talking with you.
Yes, thank you so much. Likewise. So everyone out there, I hope you have an amazing day. And just remember to shine and flow.